15 to 20 million.
Jump out there.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area. I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860. If they live outside the Philadelphia and tri-state area, invite them to tune in on the Listen Live link from the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. If you received our email this morning, forward it to a family member and friend and invite them to tune in. Joining me today is Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, East Coast Vice President of SCORE, Rich Logis, Principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash, and I'm pleased to be here with you. Well, this has been a very historic few days in America as America's two major parties begin their conventions. We saw already a few days of the Republican convention, and of course, we'll be hearing a lot of words as time goes on. Once the conventions are over, I want everybody to review the written plans, and then let's discuss what they had to offer us, and let us know who really is accountable for the financial situation that America finds itself in the last 25 years. Well, let's go right to it. And to begin us off today, let's start off with Rich Logis.
Good morning, guys, and to our listeners. Well, Michael, let me give you my overall thoughts on things. And I think our listeners have come to know me as the, you know, I'm the guy who talks out against both of the parties, and I've long questioned the differences between these parties. Having said all of that, when I look at the two candidates who are going to be nominated, I do see a clear difference between them. I see a clear difference between the Republican nominee and what his presidency could look like compared to Hillary Clinton's. And I do believe that there is a difference this year. I do. And that's not to suggest that all of the concerns that we've raised on air about Trump's campaign aren't to be. And I also disclaim here, as I always do, that whatever I say should not necessarily be interpreted as how I vote. I don't generally talk about for whom I vote, but I have no problem to tell you for whom I won't. And as I've been telling people, I've been never Hillary Clinton for 20 years and counting. So for
I think a lot of the things were outlined during the convention, which put a lot of concern in my thought waves. But you know what noticed that what I want to say, guys, is, and all of our listeners, welcome and thank you for always being there. I meet so many people in my travels. It's an honor. Now, let me just say this to you. I would say if we had to look at the conventions, the one taking place and the one coming up, America as a nation was built on a revolution. America was not founded to be a nation of people that sit back and do nothing. 240 years ago, people did something. They had the Declaration of Independence. I think these conventions have to bring forth 100% that we are in a revolution. We want major change in this country. Whoever brings that change will be the next president. What do you say, Larkin?
Well, I'm not exactly. I mean, I agree with everything that you said, except I think Mr. Trump has got to start trying to eliminate the gas. I wouldn't have given him a snowball's chance 2 months ago. But at this point, I do give him a chance because I think He, in fact, does respond to what this country wants, which is they want change.
They want a revolution.
What we've done for the last 20 or 30 years will not work. It will not continue to work. And the problem with Mrs. Clinton is that, you know, ultimately I can almost flat out guarantee you that a vote for her will, and again, I'm not telling anybody how I'm voting, but a vote for her would indicate more of the same.
So now, what you're saying, Larkin, by that is we want a revolution. If she's elected, we have no revolution.
Yeah, essentially what I'm saying is that it will be four more years of at least four more years of the same, of what we've had, which is a complete stalemate in Washington, D.C. Nothing really, no legislation getting done, no leadership. I mean, we are so void of leadership in this country, it's almost frightening.
Larkin, let me turn for a moment to Mark. Mark, what did you think of what you saw during this convention coverage?
Yeah, good morning, guys. And, you know, I've watched both days, and my wife, Jackie, has too. And what I'm seeing, I love, to be honest with you. You know, last night, even when the children spoke, and if it's Tiffany or Donald Trump Jr., and it is a revolution, Mike, and people are afraid to say that. We want change. I think Donald Trump is the only one that can flip Washington over and start over, and it becomes the people's government. I just like we absolutely need change, and I'm kind of like Larkin and Rich, too. I absolutely, you know, Hillary just doesn't do it for me.
Well, you know, so I want to say that, first of all, our program will continue the entire broadcast time that it normally does each week. But what I saw in the last few years, America is a nation in chaos. First of all, America has less jobs than it needs to employ its people. That is a sin of all national, local, and statewide leaders. You must look out for your own front door first. Number two, we have less skilled workers for a growing population. We have a great population in this country. And as I was watching the convention, I saw on the crawls on the bottom how it stated how many people we have unemployed, what percentage of the people are getting the information from the debt clock was on the bottom crawl. I'm sure many of you saw that covered. We need skilled people to restore the industries in America. That's the information we have to have shared with us. I want to hear all the nice stuff, but I also want to hear what's going to happen. And we see firsthand, every one of us sees that the cost of living continues to go up. Our salaries are flat. Jobs are needed. The people can't continue to go to government for financial assistance. We're already $10 trillion, or doubling of America's debt in the last 8 years. That simply can't continue. It's insane. We want people to earn a paycheck, not to walk into a store needing an access card. We don't begrudge an access card to anybody that really needs it. But because we don't have the jobs available, I want these people at these conventions and throughout the rest of the campaign to direct their attention, their time, to one thing. How are we going to restore the industries? How are we going to get the paychecks back in people's desks so they know what they're doing? And another thing is, no one's talking about this healthcare system. It's bankrupted families. It's caused chaos for America's employers. We've heard a lot of talk so far, but not enough about accountability.
Mike, you know, you brought up the
bread and butter issues. Yes.
Yes, you brought up the healthcare, and I love it because I'm running a 70-employee, two companies, and I've got a healthcare meeting tomorrow morning. Again, a family with my Aqua Plan, Blue Cross Blue Shield, cost $15,300 per family last year. It now costs $16,800 as of September 1st. We pay $16,000 to $18,000 a month for my small company for health insurance, and the employees contribute a part too. This is such a problem to stay in business. You add that with an IRA, a retirement package.
How can you or any family go for that? And by the way, Mark, I did contact my guy, and he's supposed to call me this afternoon. I will get back to you.
Well, thank you.
New York is one of those very unusual states, I found out, as far as, you know, having enough systems. And that is why crossing the borders with healthcare programs, as Dr. Sue mentioned quite a while ago during our broadcast, is something very sensible for us to do. National leaders, by the way, I've been watching them for a while. They simply don't care about anything because their paycheck is guaranteed. The same thing is with the merchandisers. They don't give a damn about anybody. They know that they're going to get their money from the foreign-made products as the same as they would get it from American-made. They will just get more money from the foreign-made because they'll buy it for cheaper and sell it for more. So they don't care. Everybody has been settling in a great place, watching how long it can continue. I think we're at the breaking point. I'm urging everybody to stay involved because we see things changing in America. The fact that this many people are watching conventions at this time of year, not sitting on beaches and porches outside getting, you know, some nice fresh air in the evening, that they're watching television to see what these candidates and the various speakers have to say is very interesting to me. They said,
Michael,
go ahead, Guy.
Michael, and good morning, guys, now that we're all here. I understand that what I'm about to say, we have about eight years of hindsight as a benefit. But do the people, for all of our listeners, for all of us, guys, do we understand what was meant when it was said that there was going to be a transformation in this country? Do people understand now what that really means?
I think they,
Michael,
understood.
Do they understand? But what? Okay. So what is it? So what is it actually? What was that? That's what the left does. They disguise with these highfalutin, innocuous, wonderful sounding terms like transformative and progressive and concerned citizen and all this other stuff. Do we understand what that meant? Michael, there are so many people I know who voted for the president in 2008, and they did what they thought was right at the time, and I will never, ever, ever disparage somebody for casting a vote the way he or she thought what was best at the time. But do you guys know how many people I know, dozens, with buyer's remorse? They've come to understand what transformation means. See, we'll survive. We will survive 8 years of Obama. We will. But I want you guys and I want our listeners to think about this next question. Are you willing to take a bet? Are you willing to take that gamble of A to her? Oh, Rich, what about Trump? There's problems. There's this. There's that. I don't know about him. Duly noted. Are you willing, Michael, Mark, Larkin, our wives, our families, our listeners, are you willing to take that bet, A to her? Well, why eight, Rich? Why not four? How hard is it, Larkin, to oust an incumbent? Pretty damn tough.
It's tough.
George H.W. Bush, tell me.
The Democratic convention is over. I have not pushed that much on our broadcasts about registering to vote. Working in human services and hearing from a lot of people every week, without doubt, hearing what they think, seeing what's happening in their family, seeing their sons and daughters, sisters and brothers unemployed, I see it firsthand. Most people don't. Most people do not get a telephone call asking, is there some way we could discuss getting an interview for my son? He's got qualities. He worked 10 years at a job. There's no jobs to send them. The buildings, there was an article in our paper recently and many of our people in the Philadelphia area would have seen it, where it says that so many of the industrial buildings have been turned into condos and apartments, it's difficult now for new industries to find locations where they could go into a building and maybe open four or five, you know, operations in one building and start working with each other. It's difficult because now they're all condos and this and that and art studios and everything else. So we've done this to ourselves. It's almost like it's been done by design. When President Obama went into office, everybody thought, well, this man has an opportunity to make unbelievable changes in this country. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's a biracial man. He's a biracial man. The fact of the matter is he was a younger man. He was supposed to be a very educated man, knew how to motivate people, and yet there was no motivation that I can see where he talked about jobs. How are we going to do skills? He didn't go around to the schools talking about the trade programs. He didn't go around to the communities and look, are the buildings falling apart? Are they beautiful? Do they need paint, cleaning, whatever? There was nobody that went around with him or he assigned to go and say, what's happening in America's cities?
Did he have any experience other than being 2 years as a governor, I think, of running a business?
Or a senator. He was a senator.
They have no clue about negotiations, even Trump, to get a building up, just a building permit to meet with the contractors to raise the building. It's incredible what you have to go through time and time again.
That is why, Mark, you hit the nail on the head. This man,
I can't even believe they pick on him about that.
You know, this is why a man, this is why a man who stopped me just maybe Monday of this week, and he said to me, the reason I'm changing my vote around this time is because I want somebody who knows how to open up a business and keep it moving. If you remember a year ago, maybe a year, 2 years ago, I said, America needs a business climate, a total business climate. We're in the year of a revolt in the presidential campaign. We've all seen it happening with the backers of Trump and Sanders and Clinton and all the others. Everybody has their agenda. As I said in the past, I think the good old days are over. And it will be that way if we, the American people, keep up the pressure. That's why little voices like ours on our broadcast, which now goes national and international, is so important, because every day you can influence one person to take charge of what's happening around them. You can encourage a person to go to a store and say, I'd like you to feature more American made. These are the types of things that Americans have not done in the past 25 or 30 years. They waited for some leader to come in on a cloud and maybe make things better all by themselves. Yes,
Mike,
Mark.
Michael.
Yep, just one quick. Mike, run in the Philadelphia Cultural Center and listen to these people. Are they tired of lip service? They want
tired
action,
of it.
Right?
They
I mean, they're so tired of lip service.
Screaming. People come in, they want written plans, and I love to talk with the people. Boy, do we have conversations. Unbelievable. But the question is, the candidates have not been putting the stuff in writing. It's all been talk, but I think we're going to start seeing things in writing. This is one thing I must say. After all of this that went on in the primaries, the candidates for President of the United States of America will be very well vetted during this year's campaign, and Americans will certainly have a very clear choice before the people go to the polls in November. What do you say about that, Larkin?
Well, I think you're correct, but I think you're at this point in the proceedings, I think you're giving the American people a little bit more credit than they deserve. I'm going to predict that because this is kind of a revolutionary time, I'm going to say 64%. Of the American electorate will show up to vote for this election. That's not mobilization in my world. That's far from it. And the fact of the matter is that we're just a little over 50%. We're 10% over 50. I mean, 4 out of 10 people won't even wake up and go to the polls. Now, in November, if it rains, I drop my prediction to 58%. Because, what, do you want me to get wet to go out and vote? No.
You know, so, Larkin, I don't think the next president, whoever it is going to have a walk in the park like others had in the past. The good old days in America are over. The next president is going to have to work hard. They're going to have to bang doors down, open up doors like a salesman to try to get this country back to where it was 30 years ago. Can you believe 30 years after the fact we are going to we're begging people to start opening businesses? We should have never lost them in the first place.
So I'm going to tell you a story. This is where the rubber meets the road. I'm going to try to make this as quick as possible. I was in New York City all last week. And the first night, I tried to find, there were four people traveling with me. There's a committee that we've got a mission and a vision in New York City. And the first night, we stayed at the Ramada Inn on Hillside Avenue in Queens Borough. And we walked into the hotel, and the buddy I was traveling with, the two people were already there. We're checking in, and all of a sudden, I'm standing there. He's running my card and doing a few things, and I turn around, and in comes a 30-something female with pushing a carriage with two kids onto the elevator. Up she goes. 2 minutes later, a guy walks in with two grocery bags, presses the button, goes up. I went, this doesn't look right. Long and the short of it is, and I'll make this as quick as possible, the long and the short of it is, the hotel is owned by an Indian, nothing wrong with that, East Indian. The second floor has eight rooms that they sell for $235 a night, which to me was a great price. That's why I went there. It's got a Ramada label on it. And I got this guy outside on a cigarette break. He had to go out and have one of his precious cigarettes. And we were standing there, and I wasn't going to leave until I got an answer from him. And here's the answer. The city of New York pays that hotel owner $150 a night to bed down homeless people. Eight-story hotels, seven stories, go to the city, $150 a night.
Now
why
close.
Am I motivated? Why am I motivated?
Now, that's right.
Crazy? Now, I don't want to change. Why would I want to change? I get a room for $150 a night. I have no idea whether they were clean or not. I can tell you that the rooms on the second floor were just fine. But I will also tell you that all five of us marched down to the front desk and demanded our money back and moved to another hotel.
Well, see, Larkin, you're a man of not only words, but a man of action. My argument with this entire last 10-year campaign is political leaders, business leaders, and even the American consumer has been not looking in the direction of keeping America great. Here's my thing. I'm going to ask Mark a question because you're a perfect example of who elected leaders should be talking to. Both political parties should be banging your door down, Mark, asking for your advice to let them know about your experience as a business, to let them know what tough times you experienced, what you had to do because of outsourcing and how you had to downsize. Mark, a lot of people know who you are. Some of our national leaders also know you. They heard about you. They saw the American-made movie. The general public heard about your experiences. 500 buses filled with people came to your store, and they left, and they spread the word. You're not somebody that's not known. Mark, I have a question. Even if someone from the Buffalo area, your congressman, your senator from the state of New York, came over and talked to you and said, I want to cover your story, Mark, how many of those New York representatives contacted you?
You know, Mike, there's a few that made good comments to me, but nobody's really came and sat down and ever asked really
That's
to help.
That's the problem. You see, their paycheck is guaranteed. they could care less. I mean, they run around with all window dressing ideas. They walk in like rock stars to these various fundraisers and rallies and all. How many elected officials said that they want to use your experience more to expand and attract more industries to New York or to America?
Yeah, and Mike, I think you know who does get it are the beautiful people and customers, our customers, that come to our store. We just got an A-plus credit with a big tourism company called Diamond Tours. They love what they're seeing. But lately, the thank yous, and we love this, thanks for supporting our country, the buses are coming. We're hearing more than we've ever heard because of this historic time. And it's a movement right now. This is a movement.
It is
this
a is movement.
Big times. What Larkin's talking about, though, you know, these people that get the freebies and the users and the lazy people, the world, they're so scared and afraid right now. Because, boy, they don't want to lose what they have. And, we didn't build this with lazy people. We built this with doers. You know, and
these
again, there's leaders, followers, doers, and users.
These people should be at your doorstep because they want to jumpstart industries in America again. You could give them a plan, of action. You could give your story. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear your story, Mark, or anyone else's because it results and a failure on their part. In other
words,
it's their report card that they did very little or nothing to stop the jobs from leaving America. If this campaign goes through and we don't get the job issue as number one before November, this is going to be a difficult thing for all of us to accept.
Larkin.
Yes.
Larkin, Larkin, can I ask you two questions on air, please? They're not meant to put you on the spot. Let me ask your first question. Broadly speaking, Larkin, in order to do what you and your colleagues do in SCORE, I would think that you've got to really have a lot of credibility when it comes to business and knowing business and having business experience. Is that fair, broadly speaking, to say credibility is really key? I met your colleague. That was my impression.
Yeah, I mean, we earn that credibility every day, but yes, sure. I mean,
okay.
If I meet with a client or one of our 11,000 volunteers meets with a client, we deliver nothing as far as advice, direction is concerned, well then, sure, you've damaged your credibility. Yes.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. So here's my second question for you. Can you please enlighten, because we lean on you for your erudite, historic knowledge, and I know you don't always put your punditry cap on, but can you please enlighten our listeners by answering this question? What does Hillary Clinton have credibility in? Can you tell us?
Where does she have credibility?
What does she have credibility in?
Make no mistake about it. Hillary Clinton has been the first lady for 8 years, which certainly exposed her to what goes on in D.C. to some degree. She had a failed attempt at national health care. She was a senator from the great state of New York for, I think, one term. She was the Secretary of State. I think all of those elements are flawed in one way or another. As Secretary of State, our enemies don't fear us and our allies don't respect us. As a senator from the state of New York, nothing happened in that great institution called Congress. And Bill Clinton had a great 8 years, all dependent on the dot-com. You take away the dot-com from Bill Clinton's presidency, and you have another bland 8 years. So where is her credibility? She's certainly been exposed to a lot, what she's learned. And I think the problem with America is nobody trusts her. You know, you can't have that much smoke floating around you for that long without there being a fire. You can't. It's not the entire press corps and all the Republicans that pick on her. she opens herself liably to this stuff because she isn't, I don't know, I don't, she isn't honest? I don't know. I will tell you this, I come away personally with the feeling that she's in it for Hillary and Hillary alone. She wants to know that her name will be in the history books as the first female president in this country, and we need a female president.
So, in other words, Larkin, no credibility. I'm sorry. I heard first lady. So credibility, being married to a president, check. Health care, check. Yeah, failed health care. She wants to expand Obamacare. Being a senator, I just heard you say no accomplishment. Secretary of State. Let's review Hillary Clinton's Senate and Secretary of State resume. Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Syria, Benghazi, ISIS, willfully jeopardizing our national security. And people are worried about Donald Trump with the nuclear codes?
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, I do think that's kind of funny. But, you know, I would plead to our listeners that anybody that's got a vote to please go out and vet these candidates on your own and decide what you think is best for this country.
Now, I will ask, Larkin, you are absolutely right. The people have to vet the candidates. And I think they will be better vetted than they ever were. There's no more hiding behind curtains and walking, you know, out to a big band playing and all. I think those days people want to hear the bread and butter issues being addressed. Now,
Michael, can I ask you something?
In the third
day. Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Larkin, thank you. Can I ask you something, Michael?
Sure.
Can you tell our listeners, what does Donald Trump have credibility in? In your opinion?
In my opinion, he's a businessman. He has started many projects. I was kind of impressed with his children, their presentations. It sort of showed what this person, you know, instilled in them. I mean, he's not the perfect vehicle by any means, and neither is Hillary. But at least he shows me that he did sign the front of a check. He did look at annual reports and see that there was either a profit and a loss, and we have to do something about it so that we don't lose more money next year. So those kinds of accomplishments. Now, according to what I've heard so far, this is July the 20th, so we are on the third day of the Republican convention in Cleveland. I'm urging all of our listeners and all of you to please watch the convention for the next two nights. And then starting on Monday, watch the 4 days of the Democratic convention, and so you will be able to vet them. Let's hear what each party has to offer. I wish there were three parties at least, but the two-party system still is in effect, and so we have to obey what they have to offer until some change ever happens in our lifetime. But his accomplishments, Rich, are as a businessman, and through the campaign, he has told people America has to operate as a business. People have to get back to work. That is why the people are going out to vote for him. I believe from what I hear from the tourists that if people that are registered independent in states that didn't allow them to vote because they were registered independents, the vote for him would have been much more, because these are people who are focused on one thing, work. Work will set you free. Work gives you stability. Work also gives you satisfaction that I'm able to support myself and my family, that I don't have to go and confess my needs and concerns to some government official and then go to a store and have an access card in my hands. I'd rather have a credit card, a debit card. I would rather have cash. that's something political leaders have to reexamine. They have to reexamine their conscience. And this election is certainly the time to reexamine their conscience, because the more people than ever have been riled up over this choice that they have. Yes, as I said, Donald Trump is not the perfect vessel for the Republicans, nor is Hillary Clinton. But these are the people who are there. So we have to accept what's there, and then from there, you make a choice.
The broad point of all this, thank you, Michael Larkin, thank you. And, you know, Mark, this is for all of us here. The broad point of credibility. Credibility is not an end point. It's a starting point. I mean, Larkin, I heard you, you know, you didn't know what I was going to ask you. So I understand I put you on the spot. And I heard you say, well, you know, she was married to a president and she's seen a lot of stuff. We have to do better than that, though. Donald Trump, Michael, flawed, imperfect. Yeah, sure, we all are. We all are. Flawed and imperfect. I heard last night one of the guys, Larkin, whom I've really come to admire in the last year, and that's Dr. Ben Carson. I don't know Ben Carson, but that guy really strikes me, and I bet he strikes all of us.
I agree, genuinely, what I've seen last night. Good guy.
Good guy. I mean, a really decent and good guy. A great example for African Americans in this country. You should see the stuff that I saw this morning on the internet and on social media from black people and what they said about him. Michael, the N-word was said about him. And all of those other racial epithets that are used to describe black people whom you don't like. And you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not going to say it on air because we'll get fined and I'll get kicked off. And I like this show too much to get kicked off. So I'm not going to say them. Okay? Larkin, really? That's the answer? Did you guys see what he said?
I did. And I was very disappointed to know that this is the reaction of people to something that's trying to uplift them. I mean, first of all, we lost our competition in America. People at one time, 25 years ago, would strive to be a great plumber, a great salesperson, a great engineer. That's gone. It's been whipped out of the people. It's been drained from them. The competition's not there. To make it worse, Larkin, is the fact that the jobs are not in this country that could allow those people to go and make their skills available. They have to go to India or China or wherever else to use their skill. Yep. Wonderful. They graduated from college. Wonderful. Where are you going to go with that sheepskin? To China? So this is why I'm pleading with everybody. Two more days left of the Republican convention, 4 days beginning this coming Monday for the Democrats. Please watch every evening. I want to see what the people are going to offer on both sides. I want to see. The Democrats may give us all a different opinion next week. We're watching the Republicans, they may bring us to another side of reality next week. But tomorrow is Trump's chance to get up there and say what's on his mind. Next Thursday is Hillary's chance. After those two major speeches that they make, Americans should then know where their choice already should be or where it's going to be. Because the rest of the campaign is going to be just a lot of talk, and I am not satisfied. And I was invited to an event for one of the campaigns, and I couldn't go because I have other obligations. But the thing is, I asked for a written plan. One side did say, prepare yourself for a written plan. I said, okay, I'm not going to say who it is, but we'll know about it in 2 weeks. The written plan is what we want. We haven't had a written plan. Running around and waving and the balloons dropping and all. What happens once the balloons have all dropped? The music stops. Everybody goes home and they're sleeping. You wake up the next morning to the reality that Americans have been hurt. They hurt our nation. They hurt our people. They hurt our spirit. This was done by design. Transforming America has already happened for a few years. And transforming America, as far as I'm concerned, as a person in human services, who's worked in human services for some time, I can say that government wants people to remain on their side. In other words, we'll give you a fish instead of teaching you how to fish. Do you agree with that, Mark?
Yeah, I do, and I like what Rich brought up about Ben Carson, and you know, he brought up a couple things, you know, the foundation and how America was built, and items and documents like the Declaration of Independence, and everybody has change in their pocket that says, "In God we trust," in them. And Rich, I did hear that, and he does seem to have the integrity, and to come at him because he seems to be that honest, true American guy. You know, Mike, it's just such a historic time, and we need, as a businessman, such change. The country needs the help. Our veterans need to help, and we need security for our families, and we need to get positive as a nation and get together. But long and short, we have two choices now. And like you said, Mike, listen, these next 2 weeks, and then really it really starts up. But we've got two choices, and America goes one way or the other.
Yes, we have a choice. We definitely have a choice this time. And as I said before, Mark, you're really an expert. Your story should be told. You should be asked, you should be pleaded, you should be up there offering a speech on both the Republican and the Democratic stage. Let your experience be known.
You know, Mike, the leaders around our area, there's good ones in that, but they more or less, again, they're the ones, a lot of them say, "Are you still doing that thing?" You know, again, we talked, "Are you still doing that thing, that 100% thing? Are you still creating jobs? Are you still, you think it matters?" You know, but, you know, a lot, there's jealous ones, you know, but the good people that come, you know, see my wife and children and family and team that put this together. It's an honor to stand up for America, but more people got to do it and believe. But everyone we do educate and raise awareness to, boy, they grab it. I was reading our notebook. We asked them to leave a message that visit the store. Boy, the ones that get it, Mike, and it's just like your radio show. It's just like this panel we've got. The more people we talk it up to, they're listening, and we got to just keep
and
the
Mark,
movement moving.
I ask the people all the time, I said, "You know, the elected people are paid every day whether they do anything or not."
Yes.
And they say, "Oh, and they per diems and everything." I said, "Yes." And it's the same thing when it comes to merchandisers who are outsourcing the jobs and the purchase orders to countries around the world. They still make their money and they get their commissions no matter what. They don't care if the products are made on, near, or at the moon. They don't care. As long as the American people were buying it, the merchandisers just kept it going. The stores
they don't see the livelihood connection, Mike.
That's right. They were offering.
They
couldn't
the
care about. Like Larkin spoke so many times about the supply chain. Larkin, have you ever seen our supply chain in America in the condition that it's in right now?
Well, it's not in bad condition. It's non-existent, unfortunately.
Well, that's unfortunate. That's really this is done by design. And it's done because the American people have had the products that they want. When I walk into a store, I immediately start questioning. I'm the inquisitor. They immediately know that I'm going to start asking, looking, you know, influencing other people. That's what I ask our people to do, and many people tell me now that they are doing it. And most of all, and this is the thing that's driving the businesses featuring mainly foreign made out of their mind, is because the people walk in, they say, "I'm going to hold out. It's not, you don't have an American selection of that. I'll hold out till next year. Maybe things will change." Well, that means that they're not making a dollar. You got to sell stuff to make a profit. And that's, you know, that's the way it is in America. but the people are learning. And as I say so often, they are learning through a very hard lesson, guys and listeners, Henry and everyone else. When your family is affected by unemployment and there's no way to pay your bills, you understand what happened to America better than the next person who has a job.
And Mike, that's well said. Nope, go ahead,
Larkin. Unfortunately, the safety net, there should be a safety net for our lost jobs. There really should, and that's...
Let me finish.
There should be a safety net, and it's unemployment, a little bit of that. 26 weeks, I think, is pretty good, but that's fine. We seem to be able, through a self-funding tax of our corporates, corporations and companies, fund it. So it's not really, to a large degree, it doesn't come out of directly out of tax money. But what's happened here is the government, in its unrequited desire to attract voters, has taken that unemployment safety net and expanded it by fourfold by saying, now we can give you food stamps, we can give you a place to stay in a hotel, we'll pay $150 a night. All of these other ancillary stuff that doesn't encourage people to fix the dilemma. It encourages them to say, well, what the hell? Why would I go back to work for $9 an hour when the value of what I receive from the government is $11 an hour? I mean, why would I do that?
That's exactly right. And, Larkin, you're right, and I have to say this, sad to say, all of that is outlined on the U.S. debt clock, which is right on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Click on that and look at it. By the way, in the last 8 years, we doubled our national debt. We're now at $19 trillion. We said that the Obamacare or Affordable Care Act, whatever you call it, is going to help so many people. Well, look on that U.S. debt clock. We have 40,847,000 Americans without health insurance. We now have 43 million Americans on food stamps. We have 46,872,000, it updates every second, living in poverty, below the government poverty guidelines. How is
so
that
the answer
possible?
The answer isn't more entitlements. The answer is to create employment, to create businesses,
right,
small business, to do whatever.
And that is what this election has to be about.
It's not to raise the minimum wage to offset the freebies. It's to create jobs, right?
If you look at, by the way, guys, and Larkin, you just had a grandchild a while back. My new grandchild is now, according to the debt clock, in $59,000 debt. She's 1 month old. How is that possible? And yet, section off by the amount of people in the country, which right now is 320 million people, and when you look at that and you put the amount of debt on the national debt, it comes out to $59,000 per person. It was at one time $3,000 a person. Now it's $59,000 a person.
More importantly than that is the fact that the country's being operated by a handful of career politicians who just don't understand fundamental economics. They don't understand. You say guns and butter to a politician, and they're going to say, we ought to put a pound of butter in everybody's house and take away the guns. And that's unfortunately is how shallow their all of this is. We cannot have $19 billion worth of debt, which exceeds our own gross national product.
You know what is more insane, Larkin? is the national leaders for the last 25 years, especially the last 12 years, have been borrowing money to put America in debt, to give money to foreign countries. That doesn't make sense to me. You must look out for your own people first.
We can't create an island, but at the same time, you're right. $5 billion that we give Afghanistan is just silly. I mean,
billion.
It's silly. Billion.
Yeah, how can it possibly? You know, last week we spoke about a few issues which were really pleasing to many of our listeners. And I think that this has to be the focus of our presidential candidates' plan in the future, and as well as all the state senators that are running and the congressmen and all. Last week we said, why don't they discuss doubling the industries that we have right now in America? Larkin, imagine having double the industries come about over the next 4 years. Wouldn't that be a great thing for America? And number two, total focus on the jobs that America needs, new infrastructure. How about all the places that have done business, are still doing business, help them to expand? There's no focus on that. It's, oh, we're going to tax this one and we're going to tax that one, but no focus whatsoever on what's going to make them stay. It's taxes that drove them out of the country.
You know, Mike, you know what's... go ahead, Larkin.
Somebody gave President Garfield, the credit the other night for this thing. It's one of my favorite ones. It hangs on my wall in my office. You cannot improve the life of the poor by knocking down the rich.
Absolutely.
It doesn't work now and has never worked in history. And there are certain people in Washington, D.C. that think that's the answer to the problem. And it's not. You've got to fix the root of the problem. You've got to get as deep as you can to the bottom of those roots, and you've got to fertilize that root and fix the problem. You can't keep on trimming limbs on the tree. You can't keep on, propping up limbs and doing. You've got to fix the tree. I mean, you've got to make it healthy again. And unfortunately, that's our economy, and nobody, and I mean nobody, that I've listened to in Washington, D.C. has any idea what that means. The closest and that we came to that is the Republicans saying, no, we can't increase the debt anymore. We'll shut down Washington before you let that happen. And all I heard from the other side was, oh, my God, they'd shut down Washington. They would actually shut down Washington? Oh, my God, what will we do? It's unfortunate, but
another thing which I want to see, and I – even if it doesn't take place at the conventions, the American people have to start asking the politicians point blank in these town hall meetings and all. All of our educational standards have to get back to where they were 25 years ago, which means we teach history, civics, math, and actual job skills that will make those graduates have a job or permit them to have access to a job when they graduate. We're not doing that now. We're just dreaming along, wondering what's happening in the system and not knowing exactly what we're supposed to do. We have created this nightmare in America by not allowing people to speak up and not allowing them to have the forum to speak up. All these well-organized town hall meetings and all with the questions in advance, I don't like that stuff. I like people to ask me a direct question and I'll give you a direct answer. Sometime you may not like it, but you would get a direct answer from me. This is what I would like to see both Trump and Hillary go on the trail. Get that written plan of action and let's see what we can do to make America what it should be, what it should have never, ever changed 25 years ago to start supporting the world and forgetting about the American people. We're getting close to our time, guys.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to ask you all for some closing remarks. Let's start off with Rich, who's been waiting to speak up and is always an honorable man.
My Thank you, guys. And my closing remark is based on something Larkin said before about the prediction of turnout. The record turnout in a presidential election was 2008. It was 60%. It's too low, Larkin. For all of you listening, whether you voted before and you're not registered, or you've never voted at all, go out and get registered to vote. Understand that when you stay home, you're still influencing the outcome, whether you realize it or not.
Absolutely. Larkin, what is your closing remarks?
I think the next president's going to have his or her hands full. I think they better recognize very, very early on that what's been happening cannot continue. And they better figure it out fast. Anybody that's going to be holding to people that have donated to their election need to understand that thank you for making democracy work. But guess what? We've got to change this, that, and the other thing. And we've got to change. We got to fix it. We got to change. And until we do, we're a ship without a rudder.
Yep. And Mark, your closing remark.
Yeah, I just don't want the listeners and people to underestimate the power of buying Made in America products. Produce more than you can consume. Get the people working. And you can take care of a lot of things. So go out and buy a Made in America. I truly believe it'll answer 90%+ of our problems in this country.
Well, that's our broadcast for today. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spreading the word to family members and friends. And be sure to let them know about all of our efforts that are posted on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best.